So the reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 21, beginning to read at verse 5. Some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" He replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines and pestilences in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. This will result in your being witnesses to them. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends, and they will put some of you to death. All men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life." This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ, our Lord.
Well, I must say that this reading, it was interesting reading this reading this week in the middle of our conference when I had a few times to have a break, and thinking about this sermon when all that was going on in the world. He was talking about, in this reading, talking about wars and rumours of wars and nation rising against nation and the world being in turmoil. And all the while I'm watching as they elect the new president of the United States of America. And there's lots of rumours of things that are going to happen and what's happening in the world. And it was interesting to have this passage this week. But also, of course, to think about wars and rumours of wars and to think about remembrance, as we're here on Remembrance Sunday. I always find it a bit tricky, to be honest, when it comes to Remembrance Sunday and I'm speaking in church, because I'm aware that I've never lived through a war. And to remember means to recall, to bring back to mind. And I haven't lived through a war. I don't know what it's like to live through a war. And sometimes I think for people of my generation and younger, wars can seem something that happen very far away, that don't affect us, that either happen far away geographically or have happened far away in time. And one thing I did in my previous parish, that in the week leading up to Remembrance, I would go and I would visit somebody from the parish who I knew had lived through the war. And I'd sit with them and have a cup of tea, because that's what vicars do. And I'd talk about their experience. And I remember going to see Tess. There's a picture of Tess when she was in the war. Tess sadly died last year. But I went to see her and had a nice cup of tea with Tess, and I was ready to hear about her experience of war. And to be honest, I was expecting to hear some terrible stories of just how it had been so horrible and difficult for her. But actually, Tess shared with me about how it felt to be part of something that was so big and to play her part, and that sense of camaraderie that she had with her friends as they helped with the war effort. Tess was 19 when she joined the forces, and she was stationed in Luton and worked in the searchlights. And her remembrance of that time is that it was exciting, that it was an adventure, and that she made many friends. And I remember listening to Tess and thinking, oh, well, that's great, Tess, but this isn't really what I was hoping to hear. I was hoping to hear, you know, how terrible it was so that I could share that with people. But then Tess went on to explain about her late husband, Jim, and his experience of the war. And actually, it was slightly after the war, when Jim was sent to some of the Nazi concentration camps to help clear the camps. Part of his job was to bury the thousands of dead bodies that they found when they arrived. From 1941 to 1945, almost 70,000 people died there. This was the scene that Jim entered when he came to these concentration camps, and Tess showed me some of these pictures, some that I wouldn't show to you all. Words cannot describe the horror. Major Dick Williams, one of the first British soldiers to enter and liberate the camp, said, "It was an evil, filthy place, a hell on earth," which is an interesting description. We say today at the beginning, at the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. A few weeks ago, I was talking about the word religion, about how it's about re-ligamenting, about joining together, and that's what religion is supposed to do, connect us with God and connect us with each other. And of course, remember is a similar thing. It's the members coming back together and remembering and holding those memories. In this morning's reading, Jesus talks about turbulence. He's warning about turbulence. Imagine if you went on a flight, and as you got on the flight, they said, "Welcome to the flight 473 to Palma Airport. The weather is unsettled, and so we'll probably be expecting some turbulence." Now, you might think, "Oh, that's not what I want to hear as I get on the aeroplane," but it's much better to be warned of those things now than to be halfway through your flight and suddenly the plane starting to shake and you having no explanation for what's happening. It's better to be warned, and Jesus is warning his disciples. Jesus was talking about the destruction of the temple and the fall of Rome that actually happened in AD 70. But Jesus was also talking about the future for all of us. Jesus wants us to be aware that there will be wars, there will be rumours of wars, nations will rise against nation, there will be trouble, but we are not to be paralysed by worry. I think sometimes today we have so much news coming in, so much information about what's happening in the world, that we don't know what to do with it. We know that our world is a mess, and we're constantly receiving more and more information, images, news feeds about what's happening. And what do we do with all this information? Jesus has some advice in this passage. Firstly, Jesus says, don't be deceived. Some newspapers seem to love all the doom and the gloom. They love reporting all the terrible things that are happening around the world. And sometimes it can really feel like this is the end times. And maybe it is, we don't know, but I'm sure every generation has thought that. This must be the end times now. I mean, things are just so bad. But Jesus says, don't be deceived. Don't be led into despondency. Our worldview needs to be not one of despair, but one of hope, even in the most terrible of situations. The secular world, the secular worldview would say there is no God. There is nothing more than what we see. There is no hope, but we believe differently. So we are not to be deceived. Secondly, Jesus says, tell your story. In verse 12, you'll be brought before kings and rulers, and this will be your opportunity to be witnesses to them. This will be a chance to tell them what God has done in your life. Tell them about who Jesus is. At the Leading Your Church into Growth conference, we were encouraged to tell our story. And in fact, on the way to the conference in the car, I asked Jenny and Lorna and Malcolm if we could use that time so that I could hear their life story and their faith story. Because I was aware that they'd heard mine when I did my first sermon, including my adventure sat on the toilet. But we didn't go into that. I was interested to hear about their story of life and how they came to faith, how they came to be part of St. Andrew's. And then while we were at the conference, one of the speakers said to us, she said, I want you to have 1 minute each to tell your story of faith. 1 minute. And it's a really good practice. I'd love for you to practice that, maybe in your small groups or something, to just spend 60 seconds explaining your journey of faith. Because we live in what's called a postmodern world, or sometimes a post-postmodern world, where truth is relative. There are no truth claims. No one can say this is true anymore, apparently. And here, in that context, the power of a personal testimony, of a personal story, is really powerful. People can't argue with your story, because it's yours. You say, this is my experience of God. This is what God has done in my life. And it doesn't mean that my life is now wonderful and I don't have any problems. It means that God is with me in my problems. Tell those stories, Jesus says. Thirdly, Jesus says, be patient. Or rather, he says, stand firm. By standing firm, you will gain life. And I think it is about being patient. We often think about patience as something just very passive. We just need to sit there and be quiet and wait for it to happen. But actually, it's not like that. Jesus is talking about standing firm, not being swayed by current situations, whether that be things around the world or things close to home in our own life. As I was thinking about standing firm, I was thinking about some of the people that I've met since I've been here. People who have been Christians for many, many years and who have stood firm as I've heard the things that have happened in their life, the things that have happened to them and the challenges that they faced, and they've stood firm in the faith. I think particularly about Charles and Beth McNutt, I spent the afternoon with them the other week and hearing about their life journey and Paul and Sheila Easby and the things that they've faced. They have stood firm, and many others too. Standing firm is about remaining in Christ. He is the stability in our changing world. Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 writes this: "Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. Do everything in love." And that last part about love really struck me, because he begins by saying, stand firm, be courageous, be strong. And it feels so strong and like it's ready for battle. But then it says, do everything in love. It's a love that has a real strength to it, a real backbone to it. And it made me think of a memory, a clear memory that I have as a child, of reaching out and holding my mum's hand before we crossed the road. And my mum's hand being so soft and warm, and feeling that love that my mum had for me. And knowing that it was a warm love, a love that kind of kept me safe, but also that it was a love that had real strength. I know that my mum's love for me is something that isn't just soft and warm, but actually it's really strong and courageous, and it stands firm. I know, because I know the times when I've worried her sick when I've been poorly as a child, that her love is soft and loving, but it's so strong. That's the kind of love we need to have, to be able to stand firm and be courageous, but do everything in love. So Jesus says to us, in a world of turmoil where there are wars and rumours of wars and where we remember wars, to not be deceived and not be led into despondency, to take every opportunity to tell our story and to stand firm in love and strength. Amen.